Thank you, Kurt. I was just trying to think, how am I going to get over to that door and close that? So last week we talked about how everything was being genetically modified, and it's a topic that we're going to get back to because I think that plays an important role in the coming beast system, the Antichrist. But I think I'm going to switch gears for right now, and today we're going to look at the educational system that we have today. And it's important for us to really understand the motive behind public education. Now, one of the things each generation always says, and this is what we all say, boy, education isn't what it used to be when I went to school. And it seems like every generation says the same thing. They look back and they say, well, today they aren't being educated the way that I was. And they think that the educational system is broke and that it needs to be fixed. But what each generation doesn't really understand is the public education system is accomplishing just what it set out to do from the time that it was introduced. Its goal was to eliminate God from society and dumb down the population to become compliant to the authority of the government. Psalm 111:10 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Now, in the Bible, we are taught that the responsibility of educating children belongs to the parents. Nowhere does it even insinuate that God gave that responsibility to the government. As Christians, we need to realize that the responsibility of educating our children belongs to us and not the state. Deuteronomy 11:18, God says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children," talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to look at how our children are being educated and by whom. And before we continue, let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for this day you've given to us. And Father, we know that there is a battle, a spiritual battle that rages every day all around the world in our nation between you and between Satan's demonic teachings. And so, Father, as we as Christians, we should be aware of all the things that are happening around us. We should know your word good enough to know when there's deceit is being taught, and when things are in a sense being controlled by Satan. So Father, as I preach today and as I bring up the educational system, I just pray that you would enlighten our hearts and our minds and help us to understand that the public school system really is designed by Satan to draw believers away from you. And so Father, again, I just pray that you would help me to pray in a way that is understandable. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when it comes to education, we can really, I mean, when you really dig really deep, you can come up with a million different things, and it's really hard to sum things up. But what I kind of want to do is kind of look back at the early beginnings of our education and just see the men that were involved in changing our way of education. Now, what we have forgotten, and of course, this is intentionally left out of our education, is that when our nation was founded, even before our nation was founded, there was no such thing as public education or state-controlled schools. The public education controlled by the state did not exist before 1857, and it was not fully implemented until 1918. Now, the people of the United States have been completely conditioned by the government to accept the public educational system, or to accept it without question. Most of us have been born into this public education. We don't know anything different. As far as we know, this is the way the world's always been, because we were born into this system. And we have actually accepted it as the norm without even questioning why the government needs to be in control of education of its children in the first place. Why? It never was before. So what was our first form of education? Well, if you look back in the history of the United States, the Puritans, almost immediately after arriving in America in 1630, set up schools. Children who did not attend school were taught at home. Now, the schools not only taught children how to read and write, and when I talk about read and write, I mean really read and write. Most of us today, even though we can read or write, we are illiterate compared to the 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12-year-olds of that day. We don't even comprehend how intelligent these children were. Now, these schools not only taught children how to read and write, it taught them biblical values. In other words, at that time in our history, the Bible was an important part of a child's education. Now, even after the forming of our nation, the education of the children was still the responsibility of the parents. Now, the education could come through homeschooling, where parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and even older siblings would help younger siblings to learn, so how to read, to write, do arithmetic. Now, the education of children could also come by way of the church, because the church back then helped educate children. Or it could come through a little community school that they've got together to do, or through private tutors. Now, children in this day were also well educated in their understanding of the Bible. That doesn't mean they were all Christians, but they were raised with the understanding of what the Bible taught, biblical principles. Now, by 1776, when America finally declared its independence, volunteerism, in education was the rule. In other words, parents took it upon themselves, and that's what the government allowed. And our founding fathers did not think in terms of government-controlled education. And if you read back when they established this, you will find nothing that states when they did the Constitution or the Bill of Rights that they thought that the government should take over the education. So in their minds, because they had been raised in this form of teaching that we just described, education was considered to be outside of the judiciary or the jurisdiction of the civil government, and that includes the national government. Now, basically, America already had a free system of education. You know, back then there was hardly any tax money spent on education, and yet the education was available to almost anyone who wanted it, including poor. Now, this produced a generation of fluent Americans who could understand and deal with the complex problems of self-government. The Federalist Papers were written for, read, and understood by the common man. I don't know if you've ever tried reading them, but they're pretty complicated to read, aren't they? But yet, children understood them. The common man understood those documents. Now, before public education was taken over by the states, America really was one of the most highly educated people among all the nations. There was hardly any illiterates in the United States. Parents made sure their children got an education one way or the other. Now, at the time, though, we see as the nation grows, there's another side. God had his fingerprints all over the forming of the United States, but there is another one that wanted his fingerprints all over the United States, and guess who it was? Satan. But Satan had a very hard time of controlling America because of God's fingerprints on it. People were being taught biblical principles. So how could Satan get the United States and the people away from the biblical principles? So we see that there were men who were raised up that were opposed to Christianity, and what they did is they sought to devise a public secular education that all children would be forced into. One of the ways Satan attacks us is through our minds. 1 John 5:19 says, We know that we are the children of God and that the whole world is under control of the evil one. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Ephesians 4:22 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. So we see that the battleground is always for the mind. And what is the educational system? It's something that what? Attacks our minds, isn't it? Education. We will believe what we were taught. Now, if Americans were one of the most educated people in the world, one has to ask, what was the motive behind moving to a public education sponsored and supported by the government? And of course, the simple answer would be, the motivation behind starting public education was to get children away from their parents who incorporated the Bible into their education and to place them under a secular or humanist system of education. That was the goal. This is why we have public education. Now, to secure this compulsory education, it was first instituted by Massachusetts in 1852. Not all the states implemented at the time, but by 1918, every state had compulsory education. Now let's look at some of the men who were influential in establishing public education that is controlled by the state or the government. One was Robert Owen. He lived from 1717 to 1858, and his occupation is listed as a utopian socialist. This is what he was. That's his occupation. His fundamental tenet was that character is fashioned by circumstances. You know how it is. If the world wasn't such a bad place, we'd all be good people, wouldn't we? So he believed. He declared view that all religions were tainted with error and that men could not live in peace and harmony until they actually recognized this fact. Owen perceived religion as a source of fear and ignorance. Therefore, people were unable to think rationally if they stayed attached to this fallacious testimonies of religion. In 1817, Owen publicly claimed that all religions were false. In 1854, at the age of 83, Owen converted to spiritualism after a series of sittings with Maria B. Hayden, who was an American medium credited with introducing spiritualism in England. In other words, these were satanic people. Now, Owen claimed to have had medium contact with spirits of Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and others. He explained that the purpose of these was to change the present false, disunited, and miserable state of human existence for a true, united, and happy state, to prepare the world for universal peace, and to infuse into all the spirit of charity, forbearance, and love. Then we have Horace Mann, born in 1796, and he died in 1859. He was an American educational reformer, known for his commitment to promoting public education. He is also known as the father of American education. Now, in 1852, Massachusetts became the first state to implement compulsory education by the state, and of course, Mann was appointed as the Secretary of Education. Now, arguing that universal public education was the best way to turn unruly American children into disciplined, judicious Republican citizens, Mann won widespread approval from modernizers, especially the Whig Party, for building public schools. Mann also suggested that having schools would help these students who did not have any appropriate discipline in the home. See, building a person's character, he felt, was just as important as reading, writing, and arithmetic. Instilling values such as obedience to authority, promptness in attendance, and organizing the time according to a bell ringing helped students prepare for the future employment. I don't know, but this kind of sounds like the same way that you would go about training animals to be obedient, to listen to their masters, to come to you at the ring of the bell. Train them. Now, you have to ask, who were these unruly American children who had no respect for authority? Well, I would suggest that they were children who were taught the Bible and learned to be critical thinkers who could not be controlled by the government. We can't have that. These are unruly children. So while Mann affirmed that our public schools are not theological seminaries and that they were debarred by law from inculcating the peculiar and distinctive doctrines of any one religious denomination among us, especially all the essentials of religion and salvation. See, this created a big stir back then from the parents. But he assured them, even though we're not going to take the Bible into the school, and even though we're not going to teach them about God and salvation, we can assure you that even in this secular context of our education, our system will at least include Christian morals. We're going to still teach them Christian morals. So basically, education was to be based on secular principles and not Christian principles. It would not include any form of religion or religious training. This was the goal right from the beginning. Get rid of God and teach people about, well, I would say Satan. So the purpose of a state-run education was to teach children secular values, to take away the ability of the parents to homeschool them or to choose where the children could be taught biblical principles. They didn't want this anymore. This was the goal. Pull them away from the parents. This is the only way that we can control them. Like many 19th century reformers, Horace Mann believed that children would find it more interesting and pleasurable to memorize words and read short sentences and stories without having to bother to learn the names of the letters. In other words, there was no need to learn your ABCs or to learn how to sound words out. So his method of education was so successful, listen to this, that among American soldiers enlisted in World War I, 24.9% proved unable to read or write. And by 1940, one-third of high school students were incapable of mastering reading and writing well enough to profit from textbook instruction. In other words, they couldn't read well enough to even teach themselves to learn. And one half of the adult population in the United States was functionally illiterate by 1940. What a successful educational system for them. Okay, for them, not for us. Then we have John Dewey, born in 1859. He died in 1952. He was an American philosopher, psychologist, and educational reformer. I mean, he was a very influential man in the first half of the 20th century. In Dewey's words, education is the fundamental method of social progress and reform. Social consciousness shapes individual perceptions. Society has an obligation to reform education. As a society, we are responsible for one another. Now, for schools, it meant a change in focus from classical to progressive, from mind to matter, from the individual to the society, and from God to man. Now, He formed what is called the Lincoln School. The Lincoln School was founded in 1917, and it's a prime example of the progressive movement. And of course, naturally, it was funded by the Rockefellers. He had a general board of education that was funded by him. And he funded it as a pioneer experimental school for newer educational methods. Now, the amount that he gave back then was $3 million. $3 million was quite a substantial donation. I mean, this is how important it was to get this progressive movement in the works. Now, Dewey's reason for establishing the school was to get Christianity out of education. The Rockefellers' support of the school was for the purpose of dumbing down children. See, he was a boss. He had all these industries, and what he wanted in his industries was dumb people who, when the bell rang, would go to work, and when the bell rang, they would go home, and they would never question anything. See, that was his purpose for it. Dewey's purpose was to get Christianity out of it. Now, in the 1920s, it says that John D. Rockefeller Jr., put his four boys into this school, and they came out not being able to read and write. They were illiterate. And apparently this type of education was just what the doctor ordered because it was embraced by those or the educational establishment as the model of education. I mean, Dewey helped found, it said, the first humanist society of New York in 1929. Its president, Charles Potter, reportedly said, What can theistic Sunday school meeting for 1 hour once a week do to stem the tide of a five-day program of humanistic teaching? See, right from the very beginning, that was the whole thing. And this is a good point. We send our kids to church for 1 hour a week to teach them about God. The public school systems have our children 5 days a week, 8 hours a day for 13 years for secular training. And by the looks of the dwindling number of those who attend church today, it seems that Charles Potter was right and the public educational system, the school, is winning. Now, one of the most influential persons of modern day education is Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller was born in 1923. He died in 2010. He was an international globalist theosophist, I believe is how you pronounce it. Now, a theosophist is someone who communicates with higher beings. Okay? And he was really in with the United Nations. He served with the United Nations for 40 years and rising to the rank of Assistant Secretary General. His ideas about world government, world peace, and spirituality led to the increased representation of religions in the UN, especially of the New Age movement. Now, he was known by some as the philosopher of the United Nations. We're not going to talk about this much right now, but I just want to mention that all of the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, all these things are cultists. Most of these people they believe in Satan. They follow Satan. They know they follow. And I'm not saying everybody involved at the lower level, but I'm telling them the upper echelon. And the other thing is that in our government over the years, it's satanic in Washington, D.C. Where the power is, you can believe Satan's there. And there are so many people that we would hardly even believe. It just shocks me that are involved in the occult within our government. Enough said about that. We may talk about that later. Now, Mueller created what is called a world core curriculum that earned him the UNESCO Prize for Peace Education in 1989. Now, UNESCO stands for the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. This is one of the organizations that actually influence every nation's schools, including our own right now, whether we know it or not. Now, the entire what their goal is basically the entire humanity must be reprogrammed through a right global induction. In other words, everyone must be globalized. Everyone in every nation. That is reprogrammed. Now, from the preface, it says, the underlying philosophy upon which the Robert Mueller School is based will be found in the teaching set forth in the books of Alice A. Bailey by the Tibetan teacher, and I don't know how to pronounce this, Dwal Khol. Now, DK is what Alice calls him. And supposedly, he's this ascended being, okay? We have to be aware of this because we're going to talk about UFOs and aliens and ascended beings and all this, but this person is an ascended being who has at various times supposedly taken on human form. And one of the things that DK told Alice is that humanity was in a transition that would last until 2025. Now, I'm not going to go into that today, but when you look at what she's saying is Satan, okay, because these are demonic beings, back in the early 1900s, we're looking forward to the year 2025 to bring in their agenda. Now, whether they can or not, it's up to God. God has the timetable. But just to let you know, when is 2025? It's next year. And isn't the world a crazy place right now? Now, to keep, you need to keep in mind here that these books were written between 1919 and 1949 by Alice. And in one of her books, she wrote this 10-point character. And if I can get this thing to work, I'm going to put it up here for you. Of course, my computer went to sleep. Now, I want you to notice this. This is back in the early 1900s, okay? Hopefully you can read this. The 10-point character by Alice Bailey is as follows. Now, this is what she wanted to get in place before 2025. Take God and prayer out of the school or out of the educational system. Check. Done. Reduce parental authority over the children. Check. Done. Destroy the Judeo-Christian family structure or the traditional Christian family structure. Check. Done. If sex is free, then make abortion legal and make it easy. Check. Done. Make divorce easy and legal. Free people from the concept that marriage is for life. Who believes that marriage is for life anymore? Check. Done. Make homosexuality an alternative lifestyle. We even have marriage today between men and women. So it's normal. Check. Done. Debase art, make it run mad. And of course, back then, they didn't have the computer and the TVs and everything. But basically, what she's saying is let pornography run rampant. Put it in everything. Make it public. Check done. Use media to promote and change mindsets. What's all the misinformation about today? Right? In other words, they know, and the United States government knows, that we can be controlled through the media. And the media has for years been telling us what we need to know, okay? What they want us to know. So, check, done. It's hard to even find out what's true out here or not anymore, right? Create an interfaith movement. We even have that around here, don't we, downtown, interfaith movements. This church, that church, every church, they're all check, done. Number 10, get governments to make all these law and get the church to endorse these changes. Check, done, isn't it? Now, isn't this amazing? These were goals from 70, 80 years ago. And I think that here it is, 2024, and a lot of her writing with this, you know, this whatever his name is he's saying 2025 is when we're going to have our agenda in place. So this is satanic. Again, Satan has his timetable, God has his, but we need to be aware there's something about the year 2025 that doesn't sound good. Now, Alice and Foster Bailey were serious students and teachers of theosophy. And of course, it's a spiritual tradition which views Lucifer as one of the solar angels. Now, Lucifer is involved in this, but Lucifer is the good guy. God is the bad guy, okay? So he's one of these solar angels, these advanced beings who they say descended. In other words, when the Bible talks about him falling and descended, it really is just talking about him being a advanced person, it says, from Venus to our planet. So when he descended, he just came from one planet to another. He didn't really like fall or sin or anything. Okay? And He came to our planet, it says, eons ago to bring the principle of mind to what was then animal man. In the theosophical perspective, the descent of these solar angels was not a fall into sin or disgrace, but rather an act of great sacrifice. Satan has made a great sacrifice for us, as is suggested in the name Lucifer, which means what? Light bearer, right? So Lucifer is the light bearer. God is the one that's in darkness. God is the one who's trying to enslave us. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. That's what anybody who denies God and denies that he is the creator, denies that Christ is the savior, they claim to be wise, and we're surrounded by wise people today who are nothing but fools. So the question is, and I grew up in this system, you grew up in this system, but who is it that controls our educational system? Now, this may sound offensive, but according to God's word, it is controlled by a bunch of fools. But the real question is why would we as Christians send our children to be educated by fools? Have we, along with the generation before us, been conditioned by Satan to give our children over to the public schools with no thought or concern as to what they are actually exposing our children to? We've always come up with excuses of why we can leave our kids in the public educational system. Well, they need to have a witness. They need to have a testimony. They need to have that. But you know what? They want them there so they can take them away from you, so they can get God out of their minds. Okay? Why would we expose our children to this? Now, I'm going to close with this. I was trying to look for the latest update on the education of the American citizens. And really, you know, I consider myself only about 25% educated compared to what these kids were years and years ago before the public education system came along. I found one. A Gallup analysis published in March 2020 looked at data collected by the U.S. Department of Education in 2012, 2014, and 2017. It found that 130 million adults in the country have low literacy skills, meaning that more than half, 54% of Americans between the age of 16 and 74, read below the equivalent of a sixth grade level. I can read. Let me get my sixth grade book. I'll show you. But see, if you can't read, you can't learn, and you can't understand. If you want to control somebody, dumb them down. Because they're easily controlled, uneducated people. And isn't that something that 54% of Americans between the age of 16 and 74 read below the equivalent of a sixth grade level? And this was according to a piece published in 2022 by APM Research Lab. You know, homeschooling, or, you know, I used to be a proponent, well, you know, you need to keep your kids in school, but I'm not a proponent for that anymore, because when you look at what the schools are teaching, it's all about sex. It's all about, you know, transhumanism and transgender. I was watching a video on YouTube the other day of some of these children that are in these little grade schools that they teach. They can't be much older than 5 or 6 years old, teaching them that homosexuality is okay, a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. And then they get them around the table and you should hear these kids discuss it. One little boy saying, well, you know, if a man's with a man, he gets a disease. And then you got another little girl saying, yeah, but that happens to men and women too. I mean, it's so sickening that they're teaching. I am at least thankful that I wasn't in that age when they started teaching us, because at least I had a little bit of innocence growing up. These kids have no innocence whatsoever. And they're being, this is what your school systems are today. This is what it is. And we think, well, that's not true. The school boards, we can do this and that. But let me tell you something. In Jimmy Carter was president, they put in the federal education board or system or whatever it was. Remember that? Reagan ran promising to abolish it. But rather than abolish it, by the time he got out of office, he actually increased the funding, doubled the funding to it. Why would the federal government have to take over schools? Because there is an agenda, and if you look it up, you will find this is true. How can we control our citizens? How can we control our children? It's all there. And we're exposed to it. It's a sad thing out there. Our children are being exposed to the most satanic thing through the public educational school system today. Father, we just thank you for this time and that we could just look at this. And Father, help us to understand that, you know, our children are being manipulated and brainwashed by satanic doctrine in the public school system. And Father, I know that sometimes it's hard, you know. What do? Do we homeschool them? Do we do this? Do we do that? But you know, we need to do what we need to do. And somehow we have to, as parents, take control of our children's education and realize that, you know, there is so much propaganda out there that our children are being programmed through a secular education. So help us as believers to be aware of this. And especially as believers, as parents, we need to make sure that we are really teaching our children the Bible and what God's Word says, and we're just not leaving it up to that hour of church every week, because it's so important, because it's the parents that need to pass down godly things to their children, and the parent needs to understand how important he is in the child's life. So Father, I just pray that just be with us and help us to understand what is going on around us. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.